Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Great to have you with us today on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. A lot going on. It's a busy day. Tomorrow is debate night in America. Are you fired up? Are you excited for it? And are you going to be watching? That's the question. Are you going to be watching? How many people are going to be watching is really the question. We'll find out. And the other question, too, is it going to change anybody's mind? Is anyone going to be changed by watching the debate tomorrow night? Who's got more to lose? Who's got more to gain? We'll talk about all that this afternoon as the show continues. First of all, I want to say thank you if you came out to the Jack Carr event last night. It was a great night. We had a lot of fun. Jack is a great guy, and we had such a nice conversation. We talked about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We talked about all the Bond villains, the global Bond villains who are trying to take over America and suppress our freedom of speech. And also, too, we talked about emerging warfare, technology, AI, and it was also a great way to just get to know Jack Carr, the man, you know, the man behind the books and the TV shows, the hit TV shows as well. Yeah, he sent me a bottle of his whiskey today, as a matter of fact. So I was really touched by that. He's a terrific guy. If you have not got his book, Red Sky Morning, definitely get it. And if you have not started reading any of Jack's books, you should, because they're excellent. So let's begin today. On Wednesday, the Supreme Court rejected a challenge against the Biden administration, accusing it of improperly colluding with big tech companies to censor social media posts deemed misinformation. Justice Alito railed against this decision. Now, a little bit later in the show, we're going to talk to Tracy Beans about this. And Tracy's been covering this. And as Tracy points out, all hope is not lost here, but it is challenging going forward. And it's not over yet, but what bothers me is the fact that the court, we had three conservative justices, so-called conservative justices, in Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, who wrote the majority opinion, and also John Roberts. Now, I've always had my doubts about Kavanaugh. Roberts is not a conservative, and Amy Coney Barrett really disappoints me from time to time. No question about it. And Alito's dissent is excellent. If you haven't had a chance to read it, I'll share snippets of it with you. But basically, it goes like this. At least for now, the United States of America can continue to pressure social media companies to censor speech that the government doesn't like. At least for now. At least for the time being. In fact, Alito called this one of the most important free speech cases in years. And he appeared to suggest that the Biden administration had strong-arm platforms. And he even accused the president himself of inflammatory speech. He said what the officials did in this case was more subtle than the ham-handed censorship found in other cases, but it was no less coercive. It comes down to this. Joe Biden was out there yelling, Facebook is killing people. We know the White House officials were meeting with Facebook and Twitter at the time and telling them what they wanted the platforms to censor, what opinions they wanted the platforms to promote. And the argument is if the government is strong-arming these big tech companies and the big tech goes along and does its bidding, that it's censorship by – it's de facto censorship by proxy. And And I was really hoping the court would have said enough is enough. Now, what Amy Coney Barrett essentially said is that the plaintiffs lack standing to show that any harm is actually done. But what Alito said here in his dissent was, because the perpetrators' high positions, meaning very high up in the White House, it was even more dangerous. It was blatantly unconstitutional what they did, and the country may come to regret the court's failure to say so. If a coercive campaign is carried out with enough sophistication, it may get by. That is not a message this court should send. You remember, it was back in 2021 where Biden said social media companies were killing people for allowing conspiracy theories to run rampant on platforms in the middle of a public health crisis. That's what he said. And then he softened the claims after that, but the damage was already done. And the message was very, very clear. Message was clear. You got blood in your hands. If you allow people to post their crazy conspiracy theories about COVID, that all turned out to be true, by the way. Alito said, what these events show is that top federal officials continuously and persistently hectored Facebook to crack down on what the officials saw as unhelpful social media posts, including not only posts that they thought were false or misleading, but also stories that they did not claim to be literally false, but nevertheless wanted obscured. And Facebook's reactions to these efforts were not what one would expect from an independent news source or journalistic entity dedicated to holding the government accountable for its actions. Instead, Facebook's responses resembled that of a subservient entity determined to stay in the good graces of a powerful taskmaster. Biden administration officials wielded potent authority with virtual demands, and Facebook's quavering responses to those demands show that it felt a strong need to yield. And that's exactly what they did. All these victims simply wanted to speak out on a question of the utmost public importance, according to Alito, and they were not allowed the ability to do so. His dissent is excellent. He called it asinine. Asinine. It's a bad day for freedom of speech in this country. It's not over yet. So I don't want to completely, I don't want you to think that the government, the Supreme Court, what the court did not do today was say the censorship of the American people using big tech is okay and they can continue doing it, but that's exactly what's going to happen. That's 100% what's going to happen as a result of this ruling. See, basically what Barrett wrote in her majority opinion is that the complainants lack standing to file an injunction against any defendant because they failed to demonstrate particularized harm. Chief Justice John Roberts and Justice Brett Kavanaugh joined in the majority's ridiculous position. As Newsbusters put it, the court's explicit gaslighting as to the big tech company's independent reasons for censoring content was particularly galling. This is what Barrett wrote in the majority. And while the record reflects the government defendants played a role in at least some of the platform's moderation choices, the evidence indicates that the platforms had independent incentives to moderate content and often exercise their own judgment. Really? The government of the United States was strong-arming these people and making them take down content that they deemed to be conspiratorial, antithetical to what Fauci wanted. Santo Fauci, the nation's leading infectious disease doctor. You always have to say that by law, of course. I believe that's also part of the majority's ruling here. Alito went straight to that point in his dissent, joined by Justices Neil Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas. And thank God for these three men. Thank God. He said, for months, high-ranking government officials placed unrelenting pressure on Facebook to suppress Americans' free speech because the court unjustifiably refuses to address the serious threat to the First Amendment. I respectfully dissent. And he rebuked what the government did in colluding with big tech to censor Americans. He said it was blatantly unconstitutional, and the country may come to regret the court's failure to say so. In shirking its duty to properly tackle the un-American onslaught against free speech brought before the court, Alito said the majority permits the successful campaign of coercion in this case to stand as an attractive model for future officials who want to control what the people say, hear, and think. And he blasted the court for treating the government's incessant communications as simply benign. Alito said the court basically spun that the government was merely asking the platforms for their cooperation. and then publicly and privately criticizing the platforms if what the officials perceived as was the failure by the tech platforms to live up to their commitments. But that characterization is not true as to what happened. As recounted by Alito, government officials browbeat Facebook for months and made it clear that if it did not do more to combat what they saw as misinformation, it might be called to account for its shortcomings. See, this is the part of this case that's so infuriating. They threatened the big tech companies, and they were like, you know, not for nothing, nice tech company you got here. Be a shame if something happened to it. It's like the local health inspector coming along to bully the owner of a deli. You know, if he doesn't go along with what the mayor of the town wants. I don't know. This gabagool might be 1 degree over what is allowed under the law. I'd hate to shut you down, make you have to have all your equipment serviced. It's intimidation is what it is. It's government intimidation. That's what the Biden administration was doing to big tech. It was going to big tech, and it was saying to big tech, hey, we don't like the fact that you're letting these people post their wacky conspiracy theories, which all turned out to be true, and we want you to take it down. Nice tech company got here. Be a shame if something happened to it. Be a shame if we had to regulate you. Be a shame if we had to have net neutrality. Be a shame if we had to come in there and, I don't know, do investigations and whatnot. See, the government has so much power at its disposal that if the government starts threatening, using its power to coerce private entities into cooperation, then how can you argue that these platforms were making opinions on their own? The government wasn't staying out of it. Nobody was suing Facebook and Twitter and alleging that they were making these choices independent, completely independently of the Biden administration. The whole argument of this case was that they were being coerced by the government. He said the totality of the evidence, the constant haranguing, dozens of demands for compliance, and references to potential consequences invents a scheme of state censorship, is what Justice Alito said in his dissent. That wasn't all. Alito took the court to task for defending the government's position that Biden and his officials were just using the bully pulpit to speak out on such matters of pressing public concern. He said this is blatantly false, and it's a bastardization of the facts, and he wrote the following, quote, on the contrary, the government was engaged in a covert scheme of censorship that came to light only after the plaintiffs demanded their emails in discovery, and a congressional committee obtained them by subpoena. If these communications represented the exercise of the bully pulpit, then everything that top federal officials say behind closed doors to any private citizen must also represent the exercise of the president's bully pulpit. And that stretches the concept beyond the breaking point. In any event, the government is hard-pressed to find any prior example of the use of the bully pulpit to threaten censorship of private speech. Now, the court really dropped the ball on this today, in my opinion. All hope is not lost, as Tracy Beans will explain later in the show. It will go back to the lower courts. It's not over. But in the meantime, the problem is it will continue. The problem is that if the government comes along to big tech and says to them, hey, we don't like these cheap fakes you're allowing people to post about Joe Biden. It's disinformation. It's misinformation. As of right now, big tech may feel very pressured to go along with what the government wants. Now, I've told you the entire point of what the government was doing was to intimidate and harass. It's what they do all the time. The government can't itself come in and take down posts, but if it intimidates and harasses people enough and the posts get taken down, they've achieved their end, and that's what they wanted to do. No different than the time Merrick Garland called moms at school board meetings potential domestic violent extremists. Same message was sent. We're watching you. We don't like what you're saying. It'd be a shame if the FBI had to come to that school board meeting and keep an eye on you, mom. Be a shame if a big black SUV showed up in front of your house one morning as you're getting the kids off to the bus and you're off to your nice corporate job, your woke corporate job. If the government is pressuring big tech and using its power to make the point to them to say, hey, not for nothing, but we don't like this, then they've crossed the line. And that's what the court should have said today. The court should have said they've crossed the line. Whether or not somebody was actually harmed by this, the First Amendment was harmed by this. The First Amendment to the United States Constitution was harmed by what the government was doing. Because the First Amendment cannot allow for the government of the United States of America to be able to coerce private tech platforms into censorship, bottom line. And it's absurd to think that that's not what was happening. When you read the emails from the White House, you read the emails to Yoel Roth at Twitter, to the people at Facebook, they would literally go back and say, why is this post still up? How come this post isn't getting more views? How come this post is getting so many views? They were actively engaged in this. And so by siding with the White House in the big tech censorship case today, they've made a mockery of the First Amendment. They really have. They've made a mockery of the First Amendment. Here's Jonathan Turley breaking down the frustrating ruling today in Murthy v. Missouri. And I think he's exactly right in his opinion. And again, all hope is not lost, but it's lost for the time being. And that's what's frustrating about this. Take a listen.
Jonathan Turley, the First Amendment, obviously you call yourself a free speech absolutist. What does this mean? If the states don't have standing, who does?
Well, it's very frustrating for the free speech community because standing is often used to block meritorious claims. This is one of the most fundamental issues that we are facing. I wrote about this issue, this case, in my recent book because you have one of the largest censorship systems in our history, if not the largest. It's been called Orwellian by lower court judges. And what the court is saying is that we won't hear you on this issue because you're not the right litigants. Now, I have to admit, I've always been something of a standing dove. I believe that these standing decisions are too narrow because they do prevent the court from rendering a decision on such important constitutional questions. So this issue will have to wait for another day. But one of the things that many of us have been arguing for years is that the government is engaging in censorship by surrogate. I testified about this in Congress, that they have made a mockery of the limits of the First Amendment by doing indirectly what they're barred from doing directly.
Exactly. Censorship by proxy, however you want to call it. And what the court should have said today was, you can't do this. And the plaintiffs lacking standing, in my opinion, is BS. It's total BS. Because the harm was done to the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. And the entire process by which they were censoring or coercing big tech to censor, the government was winning. You know, the weaponization of government was winning. First Amendment was hurting, and the censorship and the weaponization of government was thriving. That alone right there is enough. The standing is the damage to the First Amendment. Now, as Turley points out, as Tracy Beans will explain to us a little bit later in the show, it's not over because it's now going to be dealt with in the lower courts again, but that process could take months, years, who knows? What I worry about is in the immediate future. You know as well as I do, the Biden administration is going to look at this as a win. And the Biden administration and their minions in social media are going to work together because they have the dark triad in this country, the unholy triad of corporate media, big tech, and the government. And they're all going to work together now to censor speech they don't like. And for example, today Alejandro Mayorkas came out and he disputed an NBC News story that said that ISIS terrorists were getting into the country. But it's his own department's report that Mayorkas strikes down. So we're supposed to believe that it's a cheap fake, I guess. As long as the government gets to tell us what is information and what is disinformation, they win. They always win. And this is what they did with the Hunter Biden laptop story and the censorship that followed with that. And they did it during COVID too. If the government gets to decide what is information and what is disinformation, then the government is more powerful. And the First Amendment's a joke. And it doesn't matter what vehicle you use. If the government, let's face it, everybody's on social media today. You know, the idea of somebody standing up in the town square with a bullhorn and yelling at everybody like Megaphone Bernie does, is those days are not exactly, you know, they happen, but they're not an everyday occurrence. But every day, millions and millions and millions of Americans go on social media and express their point of view. And if the government believes that it can tell those big tech companies, hey, we don't like this point of view, and not for nothing, you should probably take it down because it'd be a shame if something happened to you, and then get away with that until the court definitively says they can't, and that could take months or that could take years, then we got a problem. We have a big problem. So today was a sad day for the United States Supreme Court. And, you know, I've always had my doubts about Kavanaugh, and I've always had my doubts about I mean, Roberts is a sellout. But Barrett I've had doubts about, too, and I'm disappointed. And I think Turley explained the reason why this standing, dismissing it based on standing is not really, well, it's fine for the sense of keeping hope alive. It's not fine in the sense that there's plenty of standing to go around here. And plenty of damage was done. Just the fact that the government today was a, none of the people that did this got in trouble. You know, none of the people that were there strong-arming Facebook, strong-arming Twitter, none of these people got in trouble. That's enough damage. That's enough right there. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli, if you want to weigh in today on everything we are discussing. I do have a question for you. And the question for you to think about, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the show, is what do you think will come of the debate tomorrow night? And do you think anybody's going to watch? Are you going to watch? That would be something I'd like to know. And you'll have to weigh in and talk to us about it. We also have a great show. Kimberly Guilfoyle is going to be here. She's got a new children's book on, but I want to ask her about some other things too, politically related. You know, she's got kind of an in with the Trump family. And Tracy Beans, as I mentioned, will break down the Supreme Court's decision today and also has another story that a military doctor, a transgender surgery uptick was paid for by U.S. taxpayer dollars. Congressman Wesley Hunt's going to join us. You know, Trump is having a surrogate meeting with black barbershops. And he called into a black barbershop in Atlanta, Georgia, as a matter of fact, today. We have the audio view for that. But I saw this earlier today, and this is smart. This is a smart move by the Trump campaign to do this. So he's having a bunch of surrogates led by our buddy Byron Donalds to go there and talk to black barbers. And it's the Trump campaign Black American Business Leaders Roundtable. And it includes Congressman Byron Donalds as the moderator, Congressman Wesley Hunt, Dr. Ben Carson, Shelley Winter, who's an Atlanta talk show radio host. And Wesley Hunt's going to be on the show with us at 5 o'clock today. So we'll ask him about all this. Latron Price, owner of Refrigerated Warehouse at the Community Westside Market. Eric Giralt, commercial and real estate residential property owner. Mark Katie Boyd, founder of Helping Empower Youth. Daniel Ray, co-owner of Ray's Southern Foods. And Mike Lover, owner of Nancy's Grit and Eggs. So that roundtable's happening. And Trump calls into a black barbershop. Starts talking to a bunch of these guys about how Biden keeps making the regulations on them more and more difficult. So all that for you straight ahead today. Plus, we'll also do a little bit of a debate preview with Reagan Reese. She's the White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. And this is the big story of the day, the debate tomorrow night. Brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com.
The Zeoli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Stannis.
What's that?
It's Wednesday. You already running out of music ideas? Bumper returns?
I ran out of bumper music ideas somewhere around, I don't know, 4
last
p.m.
week?
On Monday? Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we have Santo's List, which we're going to play when I get back from vacation next week. But
thank goodness.
Maybe tweet us if you have a musical request.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, that'll help me out a lot. Yeah, if you have something you want to hear, I'll play it.
See that?
I'm like a DJ.
Yes. So if you have and if you have a particular song and you tweet and it's better than what Matt DeSantis would have queued up, which I can guarantee you 100% it is, we'll play it. There you go. That's how we'll do it. So that's all you got to do, at Rich Zeoli, and we'll get it on the air for you. Because it's going to be better than whatever that generic stock bumper music was.
I thought it was upbeat, a little peppy. I liked it.
That was terrible.
It wasn't that bad.
So bad. Did you just never listen to music when you were a child or a teenager or anything?
I just don't. I'm not a big music guy. In my downtime, I listen to podcasts, which is good for the radio industry and podcasts in general.
That's true. Maybe you should listen to a podcast about music, and you could learn something about great music, and then we could bring some of those music ideas to the radio show.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough.
Our guest is here, by the way.
Wonderful. That's fantastic. Well, it's a pleasure to welcome her back to the show, and I assume you would just put her up for me. So She's a name that you know very, very well. She's been in studio with me in the past, and she's now a published children's book author. And on top of all her other amazing accomplishments, she's the host of the Kimberly Guilfoyle Show on Rumble. She's the author of the new children's book, The Princess and Her Pup. She's Kimberly Guilfoyle, and she joins me here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hi, Kimberly. How are you?
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me on the program.
Absolutely. So congrats on the book. You know, I have three kids. I've got two daughters. One is 7, one is 4. I think this might be right up their alley.
Oh, I think so. Absolutely. 4 to 12, but Don Jr. loves it when I read it to him at night.
You still calling him your little junior mint?
So cute. Yeah, it's a really adorable book. You know, I partnered with Brave Book to do something really special to give back, you know, to children coming out of COVID and all the craziness, indoctrination in the schools. And I said, you know, don't complain about the problem, be the solution. I have a background. I followed in the footsteps of my mother working with children as an educator and working with special needs children. And I wanted to do something sweet, you know, and wholesome. I'm giving 10% of the proceeds to Furry Friends, to the animal rescue organization I'm part of, to find forever homes, you know, for these poor, sweet, abandoned and abused and neglected dogs and cats. And one of the main characters in the book is Jack. And Jack is a real life rescue pup that Don and I have. And he's so adorable. He's got a little black eye patch, and we named him Jack just after like Captain Jack Sparrow. But he's slightly less piratey and a little bit better behaved. Yeah, it's cute. You know, it's a very unique book in that it has a little girl who was born a girl who wears a pink dress because she likes it, and that's the little princess. So no indoctrination here, just like wholesome good values about facing your fears and how it's, you know, easier to be courageous with a little friend by your side.
I love it. I think it's really important. Kids need positive books like that. And it's really important to read with your kids, too. We read with our kids every single night, Kimberly. And I think it's one of the best things to do for their development.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's good family time, you know, and kids have been through so much. And, you know, that's also why people, if they don't have children like you and I do, and they want to buy the books to support other children, please do. Because we are then donating those books to children's hospitals, St. Jude, to Bible studies, to classrooms throughout this area in our community as well, to make sure that kids have something very wholesome. And some of the kids, you know, that are in these hospitals, they're not allowed to have stuffed animals because of the bacteria, but they are allowed to have a book. So I just want to make sure and do absolutely anything and everything possible that I can to put a little joy and love and warmth and, you know, wholesome love in children's hearts.
Very nice. Well done. Well, and the book is available. I get it on Amazon.com. I saw that. It's also available wherever bookstores are sold. So pick up a copy.
And kgpup.com, which links to the Brave Books website. And you can also get the option to include a Joe Biden chew toy for your favorite furry friend.
And that chew toy, for the record, is more alert and conscious than Joe Biden is. That's very true.
I did an unauthorized autopsy, and there is no brain, in fact, in there, just a squeaky toy. So it's much as we suspected.
Well done. You did an excellent job recreating it. On the Kimberly Guilfoyle Show, I know today you were talking about the debate, some highlights there. Question for you, which is, do you expect any shenanigans going into the Democrat National Convention this summer? Are you worried that we might get a switcheroo? You know, a lot of names have been thrown out there, including some you might know very well, for example. So do you worry about that?
Yeah, I mean, you never know what kind of dirty tricks the Democrats and the liberals, the globalists, the liberal elites are up to. I think it's very obvious, especially recently, that Joe Biden is in very serious cognitive and physical decline. He has no idea where he is. He's glitching nonstop. So if I were the people that are actually running that party right now, the Obamas, Valerie Jarrett, Susan Rice, I would say, ay, 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 or as I say in Spanish, ay, caramba, because you've got a big problem there. So a lot of the talk is, oh, my gosh, they're going to let him debate. And then there's the Machiavellian theorists that come in and say they're going to let him fail, fall on his face, literally, figuratively, and then they can do the debate and swap, which is a close cousin to the bend and snap. That's what could be up around here with these crazy kids. So who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, by the way, fear, no. Our family's not really big into the fear factor thing. We're just in the, you know, crush and smash it. And whoever President Trump goes up against, the enthusiasm is for him. So I really think it's going to be immaterial who comes in on the other side. I do think that they are in a crisis in the Democrat Party right now. How could you not be? If you're in charge of the DNC or you're, like, running all the stuff on the inside, are you saying, we got this? Boy, we got the champ there with Joe Biden. You're not saying that. And Joe Biden, but guess what? They're holding on with, like, tentacles, like, you know, with the death grip on the White House because of the Biden crime family and because of, you know, Hunter Biden, that upstanding citizen, the finest example of a first son the world has ever seen. So they have to stay in, right, to be able to stay out of jail. They're like, huh, White House or the Big House? That's what this is about. But now it's so bad that they may be forced out. So maybe this is going to be an example of that, that it really gives them the moral, you know, authority to be able to pull him out. But then they're in a quandary, because what do? Do you step over, you know, Kamala Harris, who would be like the first, you know, black female candidate? You know, there's a lot going on here. So who really knows? Or do you just say, wow, we really need a Hail Mary, and you put in Big Mike Obama? I don't know. Anything's possible. I don't know.
I don't know who you're talking about there. So I'm not even going to acknowledge
either.
That. Yeah, I don't know. But you're right, though. The Kamala Harris problem is an issue. Say they were to just push her aside for somebody like, I don't know, let me just throw a name out there, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who's really stepped in it recently with his budget. Woke may have a real problem with that, you know, then putting in another white dude, even though he does, as you know, have nice hair. So.
You know, you put him in a hair contest with, you know, Joe Biden. Here's the thing. I mean, look, they have a couple people, you know, waiting in the wings, et cetera, but I still do not feel that they're going to be able to in any way, shape, or form, you know, beat President Trump. You know, Kamala Harris is wildly unpopular, like abysmally low, you know, unfavorable. So this is somebody that I think is just going to motivate our base even more to combat against. And as for California, we don't want that for the rest of the country. Let's be honest. So that is not a shining example of American exceptionalism or restoring the great economic engine that we saw roaring in this country under President Trump. And that's what I really hope that, you know, the debate is about, is the juxtaposition of an amazing presidency and administration with a failed, dishonest presidency that has made America less safe, where he's failing on all metrics, where he's put a wide open door to illegal immigrants, that's making the country less safe, our communities less safe, you know, drugs pouring in, fentanyl, all of the above, child and human sex trafficking. It's just absolutely insane, you know, and Americans are tired of all of this and their tax dollars being wasted. And then Joe Biden cares more about sending money to Ukraine and cares more about illegal immigrants and amnesty than anything else. And then, you know, his first 100 days, now think about this. These are the facts, okay, which, you know, Jake Tapper and Dana Bashett equipped themselves with. First 100 days, he took more than 94 executive actions on immigration, okay, including halting construction of the wall. And he ended the very successful Remain in Mexico policy, but Trump is on record that he will reinstate on day one to help make America safe. So, you know, just on the border alone, it's a complete atrocity what's happened in this country. And Joe Biden should be thrown out of office just on that metric alone. But it's not just that. You have, you know, horrific numbers for the economy. The Fed just keeps, you know, printing money. Horrible Biden inflation. And, you know, people are very tired of this. And, you know, crime is rampant. It's bleeding even into, you know, red states. So there is no record of success that Joe Biden can run on. And he's been in you know, almost 4 years, and look what we have to show for it. That's terrible, you know, and people do care about these things, and the world knows. And if America is not strong, the world fails. And that's why you see all of this conflict and a number of geopolitical fronts, you know, whether it's, you know, Putin on the march and the war in Ukraine and the, you know, billions of U.S. tax dollars going over there where it should be here, helping our children, helping with our schools, helping, you know, with our infrastructure, for our veterans, for our military. You know, that's not what's happening. He's just, you know, exporting the American dream, and it's America last versus America first that we experience with President Trump.
Back to your, and I know you have to run in a minute, but back to your book, The Princess and the Pup, for a quick sec, Princess and Her Pup, for a quick second, Kimberly Guilfoyle. Mm-hmm. You can go to bravebooks.us and buy it. The Princess and Her Pup, a children's book about overcoming fear. You know, as a dad, and my wife and I talk about this all the time, but I talk about this with my friends and their kids, we're always trying to figure out how we can avoid the indoctrination of our kids, because they sneak it in. It's subtle. You know, even Nickelodeon's doing it now. And obviously Disney has got, it's all over. And there are so many books, like, for example, there's a book called Rainbow Fish, which I think is a book, it's entirely about Marxism. If you read the whole thing, you realize this book is Marxist propaganda. So we need to have books like this. How much do you think this is an issue that plays, which is Republicans talking about, hey, stop the indoctrination of our kids?
I think it's huge, and mothers care about that across all socioeconomic backgrounds, across all ethnic backgrounds. You know, Black African-American mothers, single mothers, want school choice for their kids. They don't want indoctrination. I don't want indoctrination. Proud Latina Hispanic like myself. It's just, it's absolutely insane. And I won't stand by idly and let them brainwash and steal our children and future generations of Americans to run this country that are confused and shamed and guilted into trying to say that it's okay to identify as a boy, a girl. You know, one of our kids had a litter box in the hallway at the school because some poor kid, it was identifying as a cat. I mean, that is just, it is sickness. That is child abuse. It's gross. I can't stand it. I don't want, you know, our kids picking up a book and reading about that, how little Jimmy turns into kitty cat. It's nuts. It's nuts. So we got to put a stop to it. They want to destroy us, destroy our country and our kids. And then they're going to have your kids starting to tell on parents, that, like, lock parents up or put them away if they don't, you know, ascribe to all of these things. That's why it's, like, really imperative that everybody gets out and vote on November 5th so we can put a stop to all this.
Pick up a copy of the book, The Princess and Her Pup. Follow her on X at Kim Guilfoyle and tune into her show, The Kimberly Guilfoyle Show on Rumble. Hey, thanks, my friend. It was great having you back on the show. Please stop by and visit us again. Best of luck with the book. I'm really happy you wrote it. Thank you.
God bless. Thank you, Rich. I really appreciate you.
On Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All right, so a lot more to get to. That's just one guest down. We have several more great guests for you today. But I do want to tell you about our friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, because all of this is possible because of the great sponsorship of Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. You know, Judith Krupnik, she prides herself on giving you the amazing customer experience that you deserve. And she's so proud of that fact. But she also knows, hey, look, we're doing a dealership renovation now, which is long overdue. Her dad founded the dealership back in the 1960s. So Judith understands, like with anything else, a renovation can be a little bit cumbersome. So to make it up to you, they are extending their renovation extravaganza, doubling down on their incentives and their promotions, aggressive incentives. And if you're a Costco member, you're going to get an additional $1,000 off the price of a brand new Volvo. It's beautiful. Plus, they've got great Volvos in stock. The XC90, the third row family car that Bridget drives. The XC60, that's the midsize SUV that I drive, and I love it. Or maybe you want the S-Class, made right at their plant in South Carolina. Whichever Volvo you choose, you're in great hands at Cherry Hill Volvo, because of all the Volvo dealerships in all the land, there's only one that is the studio sponsor for Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. So if you're thinking about a Volvo, and you should, because they're great cars, they're fast, they're safe, they're luxurious, and they're beautiful, please go see Cherry Hill Volvo. They're right over the bridge in Cherry Hill, and they are the region's most accessible Volvo dealership and the only one that stands with us. So go see them today, and if you're a Costco member, get that extra $1,000 off at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom? Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
4 o'clock. I'm going to take your calls on what you think the audience will be like for the... That's a question that I had yesterday. Somebody asked me. So Kirk will screen your calls, make them good, make them count. What do you think? You think the audience is going to be big? You think people are going to tune in? Are you going to tune in? I was getting my hair cut today, and Jackie, who cuts my hair, because I've got to go up to New York tomorrow night. So this is kind of fun, Matt DeSantis. Right after our live show, Zioli Unplugged in the Odyssey Hub, thanking our wonderful sponsors who gave to the Travis Manning Foundation. I'm going to jump into a big, wonderful SUV that they're sending me, the biggest, most beautiful SUV you've ever seen in your life. And they're going to whisk me up to New York. I'll be taping something for the 4th of July for Fox News, which I'll tell you about after I do it, because these things have a tendency sometimes to get canceled, but you never know. But I think I'm pretty, the confidence is high at this moment. Confidence is high, I'll just put it that way. Anyway, so that'll be tomorrow night. But what I was saying is that since tomorrow is debate night, I wanted to get your take on this. So Kirk will screen your calls on this. Are you going to watch? But I was getting my hair cut by Jackie today because whatever I have to do with Fox News hit, I got to get the coif reined in a little bit. And if you notice from the clip this week when I was on with America's Newsroom, it was a little bushy. Did you notice that?
I thought it looked all right.
A little bushy. And the problem is that here's really the issue. The problem is that when my hair gets kind of bushy, my face looks fat because I have a round face. So making sure that the coif is properly maintained before these TV hits is essential.
See, I think your biggest issue with the appearance on Monday, you didn't look as dark, tan, and beautiful as you did during the last appearance on Fox News.
Well, you know why? Because I did my own makeup. That's why. I didn't have a makeup person. I know.
You got to get more tan.
And that's what I said. I said I could use more foundation, more bronzer. Give me more bronzer next time.
Just sit in the sun for, like, I don't know, as long as you can. At least a few hours.
No, because then my face will get all red, and then I look like a beefsteak tomato up there.
You're Italian, though. Bushy hair. You'll look great.
It's not pretty, but at least when I go up on tomorrow night, when we tape on Friday morning, at least then I know I'll have a makeup artist do my makeup, so thank God for that. That's huge, but she said she's not going to watch because she thinks it's going to be totally an advantage Joe Biden, so she doesn't want to even watch it. So that's the question on the table. will you watch 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli if you would like to weigh in as well? And how many people you think will tune in? And do you think it will change anybody's mind? Those are all the questions that I have for you in our next segment, and you can weigh in accordingly. A little bit later in the show, I'm very excited to welcome Congressman Wesley Hunt. So he's right now helping with a black entrepreneur roundtable that the Trump campaign is running. And Trump called into a black barber shop today. We have the audio clip of that for you. Take a listen.
Yeah, they just...
Well, not Def Leppard. Trump. The same thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it's...
Biden just made the regulations much tougher. And it's very tough now. And it's tax on tips. And I said, how do you think... How would you like to be no tax on tips? Because, first of all, it's very hard... You know, it's a very hard thing to control from the government standpoint, but the people are very unhappy about what's happening, especially the new regulations. And anyway, I just came up with the concept of no tax on tips. Let the people earn what they earn. And it has been so popular beyond anything. I've never seen anything like it. So we have no tax on tips. Vote for Trump, no tax on tips.
The going after the small businesses and workers, the people that actually work for a living, unlike people in academia who don't, is a very smart move by the campaign. It's a smart strategy. Whether or not it even becomes law, and Democrats may try to block it, may try to fight him on it, just to stop Trump from getting a win on that. But if they do, they do so at their own peril. All right, big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead for you. We're gonna talk about the Supreme Court case with our friend Tracy Beans, editor-in-chief of UncoverDC.com. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.